I want to get right into the message. We've been looking at a case for healing, and we've been looking at different aspects of healing based on James chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. If anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. That's a wonderful command, and we've been using that to springboard us into other truths of Scripture concerning the ministry of healing. That in the Old Testament, and you can see the outline, in the Old Testament we saw God as our healer, Jehovah Rapha. In the New Testament, Jesus comes in, He introduces His ministry as the healer, that He is the one who sets the captive free and looses the prisoners, and He heals those that are wounded and blinded. And then in the healing and the atonement, Isaiah 53, we see that that's a principle in Scripture that God wants us to understand. He redeems us from the hand of the enemy and all the afflictions that the enemy throws at us. And then we looked at the process of James chapter 5, the steps that we take in that. Last week, we looked at pain and suffering and how sometimes God says no to our request for healing. But He empowers us in that pain and that suffering to be victorious in Christ. This morning, I want to address an issue that I think is very, very important, and that is the problem of gifts, specifically the problem of the gift of healing, the gift of healing. And I want us to listen, and I want us to apply this to our hearts, because I think there's a lot of fear in the church today, a lot of fear about what's happening with the charismatic movements and Pentecostal movements, and to the point at which we have limited the Spirit of God and said that that doesn't happen anymore. And I think we need to be extremely careful. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray? I'm specifically praying this morning because I know the enemy seeks to take the Word and steal it out of your heart. Lord, just this morning I pray for the Word of God to go forth and be planted in hearts of faith. People that are desperately needing You and longing for You would find You. Those, Lord, that are struggling with issues of health would find healing in Jesus. Father, there are in our congregation this morning those people that are bound by sin, bound by Satan's habits, bound by things of the mind and things of the heart, and they need to be set free. Lord, we ask You to be very present. Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, speak to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about gifts of healing, the healing gifts. I think there's a great deal of misunderstanding. In the church today, there are people that teach that all of the gifts, the miraculous gifts, have ceased with the apostles. When the last apostle died, somehow the Holy Spirit's power died and is no longer evident in the church. And that's not true. It's not true in Scripture. It's not taught anywhere in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. Jesus said, these works shall follow them that believe on Me. And He said, you will do greater works than I have done. And He said, I'm with you until the end of the age. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when it talked about gifts, He said those gifts will stay until the end of the age, until that which is perfect has come, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no evidence for that, but people teach it because it's safe. It's safe to believe that there are no miracles, there are no outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and there certainly are no healings taking place, because that's out of our box. That's out of our control. And we don't want the church to be out of control. And I understand that. I don't want the church to be out of control. I don't want you to be out of control. So sit in your seat, behave really nicely, and we'll get along just fine. You know, that seems to be the attitude of much of the church today. Don't rock my boat. And yet we read in Scripture that these miracles happened in the book of Acts. They continue to happen all the way through the church into our present day, and many deny them. Then there's the people that are on the other side. They go the other extreme. And they're the faith healers, or the people that believe in faith healers. They seek out that one person that has that anointing and that gift. I remember back in the 1950s. That really makes me feel old. I was just a little tyke. But in 1955 or so, Oral Roberts started his TV campaigns in which he demonstrated the gift of healing. And so he'd preach a message And then he'd get up on a platform with a stool or a chair, and he'd sit down. Usually he'd roll up his sleeves. Those of you that are my age or older, you remember this, right? He'd roll up his sleeves, and he'd have a great big microphone in front of him. And then people would line up, and they'd come one by one. He'd interview them, say, what's your problem? What do you want God to do? And then he'd lay hands on them. It was quite dramatic. And I'm not criticizing. I loved it. I thought that was fantastic because God did heal many people. And when he laid his hands on him, he did some dramatic things. And and I got inspired by that. Cool, man. Matter of fact, my brother was born cross-eyed. And it was very concerning because he had to wear glasses at a young age. And my parents decided that Oral Roberts was coming to Detroit. And they needed Dave to get healed. So where else to go but to Oral Roberts? I mean, he's the gift of healing for the church. And they went and he was prayed for and nothing happened. And that's not a criticism of Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is not the healer. Jesus is. And the day we start looking at people as our healer, we are way off base. There were many of these faith healers from the 1920s to till the present that claim that they have the gift of healing, and they emphasize that, and they enrich themselves by it. They manipulate the crowds. They do all of these things that are strange. And I want you to know, when we talk about the gift of healing, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about faith healers. When I was doing my ordination, I wrote a paper on healing because we in the Alliance believe in healing. Our logo is Christ our Savior, Christ our Sanctifier, Christ our Healer, and Christ our Coming King. So I had to do a paper on the healer. And all through the paper, I kept referring to faith healing. We believe in faith healing and la, 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 la. Well, I was at NIAC at the time when I was filling out my forms, and one of our speakers happened to come from Western Pennsylvania where I was submitting my papers, and he was preaching our Spiritual Emphasis Week, doing a powerful job. And I went up after one of the services to introduce myself to him, and he says, "Oh, Richard, come here." That's always a bad sign. And I get this authority thing, you know, the authority figure says, "Come here, I know I'm in trouble." So he took me up to the balcony of the church, and I thought, "What? You have a paddle?" He sat me down and he said, "Young man, I want to set the record straight. I read your paper. It's good. You got some fine things in there, but you kept saying faith healing. Faith healing. We believe in faith healing." He says, "I want you to know this through the rest of your ministry. We in the Alliance do not believe in faith healing. We believe in the Lord for the body, that Jesus heals." And I said, "Really?" And he says, "Yeah, faith healing is something else. It's where you think a man does the healing. We believe Jesus does the healing. Keep that always before your people, and Jesus Christ will be lifted up." So I think it's interesting that there's so much distortion in the church today that we have to address this. But it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus predicted it. He warned us of false prophets and miracle workers. Now, since I'm following this right on the heels of Oral Roberts, please don't interpret that I'm saying Oral Roberts is a false teacher or a false miracle worker. That's not the implication. I'm not here to condemn him, and I'm not here to condone him. I could have given you a list of a lot of other people that do those kinds of ministries, but it's not our purpose to badmouth them or to bless them. It's a purpose of looking at Scripture. Jesus warned us, and the apostles warned us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "For as much as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." From the beginning of time, from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, there were false miracle workers, false healers, and false teachers. We need to understand that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, he said, "In that last day, they'll stand before me in judgment and they'll say, 'Lord, didn't we do great miracles? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these wonderful works in your name?'" And Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." We need to be careful in our day and age. We are living in the last times and many will come doing false miracles or counterfeit miracles, and we need to be aware of that. Let me give you some signs to look for in a false healer or one who is perhaps using this as a way to make money rather than being anointed of God. These are things that we need to be careful about. A particular faith healer, and I will not mention his name, was doing his miracles and doing his healing services and had great crowds coming. A skeptic decided he was going to do research, so he spent months sending his people in to do research. He sent his investigators in, and they found that the man was phony, that he was not really doing the miracles. There was fakery going on behind the scenes. It actually came out on the Johnny Carson show. He brought this man who did the investigations, and he laid before all of America the allegations that this man was false. And what the man was doing, his wife was in the back room. He had a crowd of people that as people came into the auditoriums, they would interview them, talk to them, pick up pieces of information. Then his wife would have it, and she had a transmitter transmitting to him on the platform, and he'd listen, and then he'd prophesy their name, their address, and then he'd do some miracles. You know, when people found out about that, within a year, that evangelist, that faith healer, declared bankruptcy. Nobody believed him anymore. I think the unfortunate thing is the counterfeit people have given healing a bad name. I believe the Lord heals. I believe God gives gifts of healing. And we're going to look at that this morning. But here's some signs to look for if somebody says they have the gift of healing. Number one, he magnifies himself. His name is above everything else. It's his crusade. In Brazil, we saw this all the time. They put a banner across the church. The great, powerful so-and-so is coming, and he's going to do miracles. He's going to do healings. There's going to be lame walking and the blind seeing and the dead raised. Don't believe them. They're glorifying themselves. He magnifies his touch. That is, he says he has the gift and it's in his hand, and whomever he touches will be healed. My friends, nobody has that power. Jesus Christ never claimed that everybody he touched is going to be healed, although everybody he touched did get well. The apostles never claimed that. There were people they prayed for that didn't get well. So anybody coming along saying they've got that Midas touch, be very dubious about it. He manipulates the crowds. That is, he can't do his miracles in private. He doesn't go into the hospitals to do his healing ministry. He goes into the crowds and then manipulates the crowd. And he also manipulates the emotions of the crowd. Have to have music and have to have some other things going on to get the crowd psyched up. Then he makes it a show. It looks like a circus, or he makes money on it. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Or he programs healings. He programs healings. That we're going to have healings tonight at Grove City Alliance Church for this, this, and this. You can't program healing. God does the healing at His will and when He calls for it. So be very, very careful about those that say they have the gift of healing. Test the spirits. Try the person and see if they are what they say they are. I want us to look this morning at gifts of healing in the New Testament. There are four passages that speak of this. The first one is in 1 Corinthians, and that's what we're going to read from. Then there's Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And you can look those up on your own. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the biggest and the most extensive, where he lists the gifts of the Spirit which are given to the church. And we need to understand that and be able to understand the gifts that are given. I'm going to read that portion for us, and then we're going to make some comments about it and bring an application. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. I want you to underline that. Gifts of healing. We're not moving until you underline it, so underline it. Go ahead. Notice it doesn't say a gift of healing or a person with a gift of healing. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Then the last part of the chapter, verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, those who have, there it is again, gifts of healing, and those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Verse 30. Do all have gifts of healing? And the answer to all these rhetorical questions is no, they don't all have the same gifts. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. From there he goes into 1 Corinthians 13 and talks about love being more valuable than any gift that you have. I want to help you understand this passage by looking at the outline in those first few verses where he sets out for us an organization of gifts. He says there are three kinds of gifts. He calls them, first of all, charisma. There are diversities of charisma. And by that, I interpret, because of studying that word and how it's being used by the apostle, he's talking of speaking gifts. God has given certain speaking gifts in the church so people can be used of God. Prophecy, teaching, encouragement, word of knowledge, wisdom, all of those are speaking gifts. Then God has given service gifts, and he uses the Greek word diakonia, which means deacon or one who serves or waits on tables. And there are lots of gifts in that category, such as administration, leadership, serving, helping, giving, and hospitality. And then the third category that he gives us is what I call the spectacular gifts. Could have called them supernatural gifts, but all of the gifts are supernatural. So we call them spectacular gifts, the gifts that call attention to themselves. They are called energies or energema. And that is the Greek word that refers to a working of power. Now, he organizes these in three different categories to emphasize that God has given gifts to the church and he has sprinkled them throughout the body of Christ, not just to one or two people, but everyone has received a gift. In fact, everyone has received multiple gifts. As the Spirit wills. Now, I could go through here and start tapping each one of you and ask you if you can tell me what your spiritual gift is. And you probably don't know. Let me ask. How many of you know with all certainty what your spiritual gift is? At least one gift. Raise your hand. You know your spiritual gift. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. How many are clueless? Raise your left hand. All right. That's good and honest, because most of us don't emphasize the spiritual gifts. We bought into the cessationalist theologies that say that all of that ceased with the apostles. And my friends, it didn't cease with the apostles, or God wouldn't have given us such instructions about the gifts and how to use them. They are active today. Now, the spectacular gifts are those gifts that most of us get afraid of. Right? You would be afraid if some of those spectacular gifts began to manifest themselves in the church. So Paul gives some rules on that in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, and you can study that on your own. But I wanted to show you, after he lists these three kinds of gifts, and let me say this. Everybody look at me. Everybody, downstairs too. I really believe, I can't prove this by Scripture, but I believe everybody has at least three gifts. Some of you have many more than that. And I believe that everybody has at least one gift in each category. So probably everybody here has some speaking gift. You're a teacher. You have a prophetic gift or have words of wisdom or knowledge. Any of those kinds of speaking gifts. Now, you all don't have them to the same level. One of the speaking gifts is preaching. You may not preach like Billy Graham, but you have a preaching gift. It is a gift that's given to you by God that you operate in the Spirit of God. This speaking gifts, many people have looked at me and said, Pastor Dick, you are such a good preacher. You must really have a knack for that. And I want you to know, I do not have a knack for preaching. I do not have a natural talent for speaking. I am an introvert by nature. Most of my life, all the way through high school, I didn't speak to anybody except my close friends. When it came time to stand up and speak, speech class was horrible. I hated it. I was too nervous. My knees would shake together. But I'll tell you, when God called me to preach and the Holy Spirit came into my life and He gave me a gift for preaching, when I prepare to preach and I stand up in this moment and I preach under the authority and anointing of the Holy Spirit, you get the effect of that. Some people have gone away and said to my wife, "Wow, how do you live with him? He's so anointed." And Marilyn would have to say, he's only anointed in the pulpit, believe me. And that's what gifts are like. You're not anointed all the time in every situation. You're not a great speaker or a great comedian. You are what God called you to be. And everyone has, I believe everyone has, a speaking gift. Everybody has a service gift. That's why we're called on to serve the Lord and to give our bodies as living sacrifices so that we can serve Him. God gives you gifts and abilities in different areas to do that. One of the service gifts is showing mercy. I know the gift that I don't have. I do not have the gift of mercy. Right, Pastor Paul? My staff knows I don't have a gift of mercy. I mean, I don't even think I have a gift of helps. I can be an annoyance. But that's not listed among the gifts. Supernatural gifts. I dare say that most of you have been given some kind of supernatural gift, some spectacular gift by the Holy Spirit that you couldn't have on your own, but God gifted you. You haven't used it. You haven't even discovered it yet, but it's in you. It's the seed of the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. Having said that, he uses another word here called manifestation. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone, to the whole church, for all to profit by it. The word manifestation means the flashing of the Spirit. It means a spontaneous, here it splashes, there it splashes, it flashes up here. It's like lighting a match. It's the Spirit of God that lights this thing, and then when he's finished, he moves on. So people that have supernatural gifts don't walk around all the time healing people. You know, if somebody has a gift of healing, he doesn't just walk around and go to every hospital and go, boom, 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 boom. Wouldn't that be great? That would be fantastic, but I don't know any faith healer even who claims to have the gift of healing that can do that, because that's not the way the Spirit does. He flashes the gift. He pushes it out there, and then it dissipates. And then it comes back, and then it dissipates. That's the way God wants to do gifts of healing. I wanted everybody to see that gifts of healing are what he says, not gift of healing. When we think of it in our Western mentality, we're thinking of a gift of healing is the guy with the anointed hand. And he has the gift of healing. And that's not what the Scripture is saying. He says the gifts of healing are multiple gifts of different facets of healing that are given to the church so that we can work them together. Let me give you a list of all the gifts. You could take this home and muse on it for a while. Maybe choose the gift that you might have that's on this list. There are 22, I count, in Scripture. 22 gifts of the Spirit. I've read books that said there's 19. I've read books that said there's something like 27. I only count 22, but the Scripture has lots of other gifts listed that aren't in these lists. For instance, Paul talks about the gift of celibacy. The gift of celibacy. How many college students here would love to have the gift of celibacy? Stay celibate the rest of your life. Raise your hand. No takers on that. I don't want that gift either. Well, can't have it now. Too late. All right, but there are gifts that God has given to the church, and he put all of them in a list, and there's many more than can be listed here. And some of those are speaking gifts, some of those are serving gifts, and some of those are those spectacular supernatural gifts. Into the supernatural come the gifts of healing. They are in the realm of supernatural gifts. These are motivations of the Holy Spirit that are given to you to operate and assist in the process of bringing about healing in the body of Christ. That is an amazing thing. So let me give you the application to the message. And this is the core of what I want you to see and hear and understand this morning. The gifts of healing in the church are not singular. God never intended that there should be Oral Roberts that take care of all our healing needs. God gave gifts in every body, every church, on many different levels that assist in this work of bringing about healing in our lives. Let me explain each of those to you. And I will try to do that in the way that you can follow. And I will try to illustrate each one of those. Next slide, please. There is the gift. I'm going to do a different chronology here. I'm going to start with discernment. One of the gifts of healing is the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to understand and see a thing without any external evidence. To understand and see a thing and understand it without any external evidence. My brother David has this gift. God gave it to him, and I don't know when it started, but I know that he has it. It's been evidenced over and over in his life. And here's what happens. When Brother Dave preaches a message and then people come to the altar and he prays over them, often the Holy Spirit moves on him to enable him to discern what their needs are. And as he's praying, he is speaking the things that are happening in their lives and asking God to resolve those issues. The people have not told him what's happening in their life. He knows it. And I asked my Brother Dave, how do you know it? And he says, I don't know it. I just sense the Spirit of God saying, say this. Pray this for them. And I pray it. And they say later, wow, how did you know that? Well, there's no way to scientifically say how he knew that. That is a gift of the Spirit. The gift of discernment. That is a tremendous help when we're working on the ministry of healing. To be able to discern what the Spirit of God is saying in a certain context. The next one I would call the gift of wisdom. That's number 5 on the list. The gift of wisdom. That is, God miraculously gives you some guidance and wisdom that somebody needs as they're seeking God for healing. Nobody told you how to do this, and it's not just your opinion. It is wisdom that comes from above. I had a lady in my church that was suffering from a very bad pregnancy. She was about to lose the baby. She had gone through hospitalization after hospitalization. Her husband was a faith healer fanatic, and he actually told her, you're going to stop going to the hospitals. You are not to go to the hospital. You are not to go to the doctor over this. We're going to trust the Lord. She got sicker and sicker until one day she was at church, and I didn't know all the background, but I began to pray for her. And as I started to pray for her, I stopped. And the Lord said, do not pray for her. She doesn't need prayer. She needs to go to the doctor. And so I stopped, because when the Lord impresses you with something, you need to say it. And so I said, Diane, I need to stop, and I don't want you to be offended by this, but the Spirit of God in me says I should not pray for you for healing, because God's not going to give it. But He wants you to go to the doctor and take care of the situation with your baby. All of a sudden, Diane starts sobbing and crying, and she gets uncontrollable. And I thought, boy, I blew it. And then she looked through those tears and she looked at me and she said, Pastor Dick, why didn't you tell me this 6 months ago? And then she told me for 6 months her husband refused to let her go to the doctor, refused the medications that God wanted, because he wanted to trust God for a miracle. And when I spoke those words, I had that witness in my spirit. This is what God is saying. Not what Pastor Dick is saying. This is what God says. Diane witnessed that and she said, thank you for saying that. She went to the doctor. She got mended, and God brought forth a wonderful baby into this world. So that's I don't do that with everybody. I don't pray for everybody and say, go to the doctor. I don't start to pray for people and say, Dr. Lilly, are you in the house? Come up here, Dr. Lilly. That would be silly. That would be carnal. But when the Spirit of God moves you, you do that. So it is the gift of some wisdom. The third one I call the gift of prayer. It is the gift of intercession that God gives to the church. Certain people have a gift of intercession to pray for other people in a way that only God can inspire them to do. My mother has that gift. She has the gift of intercession to know what to pray for when there's no clue in the world that she should pray for that. Illustration is this. My brothers and I knew about that gift in my mother. I was going on a double date with my brother, and we were going into Ohio. As we traveled and we took the girls out, we had a good time. And on the way back, it was late at night. We were driving back to Michigan, and I was in my little red Ford Falcon, and I was passing another car in this 3-speed little engine car. And suddenly, here comes a truck the other direction, and it was going to hit me. It was obvious. I couldn't pull over. The car was next to me in the way. And so I slammed it in a second gear to get more power and slammed on the gas. And my brother's just white-knuckled looking at him. And we just got by in time for that truck to go right by us. I tell you, my heart just about stopped. I knew we were dead in the water. My brother Mike looked at me and he said, Mom's going to know. He said, Mom will know. This happened. You watch. Got up for breakfast the next morning. We got home late. Mom wasn't up. Got up for breakfast. My little brother's sitting at the table, and he's giggling. And he said, what are you giggling about? He says, oh, Mom. She's going, coo, coo, coo. He's going nuts again. He said, last night, she started having panic attacks. And she said, Mike and Dick are in trouble. Plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, protect them. Oh, Lord, put the angel of the Lord around them. He said she went on like this for 15 minutes or 20 minutes and just praying and pleading. And he says, you know, it's just mom. And I said, what time did that happen? The exact time that we were passing the car. It's a gift of intercession that God gives. Part of this gift of healing, the gifts of healing, are not singular. They're multiple that God gives in the church. Then there is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. The gift of faith is multifaceted as well, but it is the gift to be able to believe God. It's people that can take the Word of God and believe it, and then they share it with other people, and that inspires faith in those other people. Many pastors or preachers or evangelists have a gift of faith that as they preach, you are inspired and you're stirred in your heart to believe God. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So at an altar, you're coming to pray for the sick, or you're sick and you're having the elders come and pray for you. One of the gifts of ministry of healing is that gift of faith, to be able to share with somebody the promises of God. And by the Spirit of God, give them a verse of Scripture and say, the Lord is saying this. You need to nail your life on that. You need to claim that before the Lord. And certainly God does that in their lives, and they find great victory in believing the Lord. This gift of faith goes a step further. It also involves the gift of the authority of the believer. That this person that has the gift of faith is able to take authority over the enemy in your life. I have watched this happen. I have had it happen personally, in which somebody prays and binds Satan, and immediately Satan is bound. I had the experience with a brother in Christ as I prayed for him, and I don't normally do this, so I know it was God's leading. As I anointed and prayed for him for a situation that kept coming back in his life, he had a terrible infection. And as I laid my hands on him to pray, the Lord said, speak to the infection. Don't just pray for the disease. Speak to the infection as though it were a person. Bind it in Jesus' name and tell it to leave because it has no authority here. And I did that while I prayed. I mean, that was a gift of faith. I really believed that was what God was saying, and that's what God wanted to do. Now, if that makes me weird, okay, I'm weird. But you know what happened the next day when he went to the doctor? The infection was gone. It had left his body in 24 hours. How is that possible? It's because the Spirit of God uses multiple gifts in exercising the healing in the body of Christ. We need all of those gifts. Then there is the gift that I call the gift of touch. A friend of mine has this. He explained it that he was at a conference once and he was really, really doubtful about gifts of healing. He didn't believe it at all. And he saw all these wonderful things happening. And while he was at this crusade, God began to melt his heart. And he was in a group of people that were praying for somebody that was sick. And he said, my hand got really hot. And I said, Ron, that's not anything to get excited about. I get really hot every time I preach, but it doesn't mean a thing. But he says, my hand got like a furnace. And then he said, a man in the group didn't know that was going on. He said, I thought maybe I had a pinched nerve or something. The man in the group said, Ron, would you pray for this person? The Lord says he wants you to pray. And Ron said, oh dear, what am I getting into? So with his lack of faith, but an anointing from the Lord, he reached out and touched that person and prayed for their healing. And this was a physical disease that could be seen. And he said, as he prayed for him, as he laid the hand on that person, that disease immediately departed. That deformity was gone. Wow. I wanted to say, Ron, don't touch me with that hand. Now, does Ron walk around like this? Keep a glove over it? And then take it out and say, anybody want to be healed? Come on up here. Come on up here. I'm going to zap you with this. And then go, boom. No, that's not the way it works. Ron only has that gift when the Spirit of God moves on him. He moves in his heart, but then something is happening in his hand that radiates heat. And Ron has said over and over it has happened. He knows when God's going to do a dramatic healing. It's the hand. And he says, I didn't earn that. I didn't want that. But God gave it. It is a gift to the church that when the Spirit of God moves, God prompts me with that hot hand. And I use it. And God always does His work. What a wonderful testimony. Ron, you're weird. But you're obedient to the Holy Spirit with a gift that God has given to you. Then there is the gift of what I call gift of comfort or gift of encouragement. That is a gift in which God motivates you to be called alongside of someone who is sick and bring to them words of comfort. And not only words of comfort, but other gifts start kicking in which you're given the gift of helps and you're called alongside that person to assist them through the sickness. You're praying for them, but you're ministering to them as it goes on. And God uses you in a mighty way. You probably all heard of Helen Keller. Helen Keller was blinded by scarlet fever. I believe she was 19 months old when that happened. She lost her hearing and she lost her sight. She became a very rebellious child. Nobody could control her. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, so she couldn't learn anything. Imagine that. Everybody, do this with me. Take your fingers and put them in your ears. I mean, really tight. How can you hear me if it's really tight? Okay, do it. Now close your eyes. Don't look at anything. Imagine going through life like that. Okay, you can open them again. Some of you fell asleep. It's all right. Some of you... Relax. It'll go away. Okay. Helen Keller had a problem that nobody could solve. It didn't take a miracle, but it took a very gifted woman, Ann Sullivan, who herself had gone through a period of blindness and knew what it was about, had studied blind people. She took responsibility for Helen Keller at 7 years of age. The girl, totally out of control. Ann took her into the backyard and took a pump, a water pump, and began pumping water and put Helen's hand under it and helped her feel it. And of course, Ann is just feeling that and not knowing what's going on. And then Ann begins to write on her hand, W-A-T-E-R. And all day long, she walks around with her, helping her feel things, and then she writes it out. Even though Helen Keller didn't know how to spell, didn't know all of those signs, she could learn it that way. By the end of the day, she had learned something like 50 words. Anne became her dearest and closest assistant all through their lives. And Helen Keller became a mighty writer, a woman used powerfully, even though she was blind and deaf. Now, that's not necessarily a spiritual gift in Anne, but it was certainly a gift given by God to help somebody in need. I know people in this church that have the gift of comfort and encouragement. Forgive me for saying so. Rhonda Brooks with Natural Options in your store. Rhonda went through cancer. God healed her. God has called her. I really believe that's a calling of God to work with natural remedies, encouraging people to not necessarily give up their doctors, but don't depend on all the drugs and go with natural remedies. Now, hopefully it helps your business. But I'm saying that because it's good for us to recognize gifts in the body of Christ. The gift of encouragement and comfort that helps somebody realize it's not hopeless. There are other ways. And then she's called alongside. I believe that along with that goes the anointing of wisdom. And Rhonda prays for people as she does the whatever you do. My wife goes to her, you know, the massage and the whole, you know. You have to be into that. Lastly, there is the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is like the gift of discernment, but it goes a little bit deeper. You get specific information that God gives to you that can't be revealed in any other way. I want to share this with you not because I think I have any special gift, but because it is a special gift that God gives to people when He chooses to. I was at a prayer retreat. I knew about my brother's gift of praying for people and discerning things. And I happened to spend a day and a half fasting and prayer and just being alone with the Lord during that prayer time. And a lot of other people were gathered together and they were hearing lectures. And I was alone with the Lord and I was loving it. I was just so filled with the Spirit. By the time I finished that, I said, Lord, this has got to be the greatest prayer time I've ever had in my life. I'm like walking on clouds with you. And the Lord said, well, I want you to go to the meeting tonight. I want you to go to their meeting. They're going to be serving communion. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go to there. I've been fasting. I don't want to eat. I'm just enjoying you. And the Lord said, go to the meeting. Didn't say it in an audible voice, but very, very quietly in my heart, the Lord said, I want you at the meeting. So So I went to the meeting and my heart's overflowing with all that God has spoke to me. But I'm a shy person by personality. That's really true. I am a shy person. It is difficult for me to stand up and preach. I always have to ask the Lord for His anointing because I can't do it myself. And in those contexts, I don't like to be seen. I don't like to be the front and center person. So I'm sitting there with 25, 30 other people, and I got my Bible open, and the Lord is speaking to my heart. He's giving me words, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool, but I'm not going to stand up and say that. I actually sat there and said this to the Lord. Lord, if you want me to share anything, you're going to have somebody call on me and say, Dick, I want you to share this. Now, that's quite a challenge. I'm sitting there, and the leader of the group does not know me. He met me on one occasion, but doesn't know anything about me, doesn't even know who I am. He's leading the group, and he said, before we have communion, and he turns to me and he says, Dick, and I'm going, oop. You remember my name. He says, Dick, the Lord says He has a word from you to us. What is it? And you can all hear the music. Do, 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 do. What's going on here? And I'm thinking, wow, I just said, Lord, you're going to have me called out of the group to do this. So when I get called out of the group, then I'm okay. Okay, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to give what the Lord gave. So I stood up and I talked about the joy of the Lord, shared some of my experiences and how I did that fast with the Lord. And it was just delightful. The Lord has restored totally the joy that I lost in the death of our daughter. And then that leader said, Dick, I believe God wants you to pray for people that are here that have lost their joy. And I thought, that's cool. I can do that. Okay. And so I just turned to the group and I said, anybody want me to pray for you? And about 20 people raised their hand. So I gathered together with a couple other people, and we started walking around and praying for each person. A phenomenal thing happened, and it's very, wow, it's scary to me as it happened. But I believe it was God saying, I want to show you something. That the gift of healing is not the hot hand. It's a lot of different other ministries. I began to pray for the first person, and actually what happened is, as I'm praying, I'm seeing this big well, and things are coming up out of the well at me, and I identify those things, and I'm thinking, what is this? And the Lord says, I want you to speak those things and pray about those things. And I thought, you're kidding. And He says, no, pray. And so I'm seeing these things come up. I'm not accusing the people of those things. I'm just praying for those things. I'm praying over that person. And when it's finished, I go to the next person and pray for them. Each time I'm taking a deep breath going, oh, that was like drowning. That was like being in a deep well. And I go to the next person, I pray for them. Same thing, there's the well. And things start coming up. Things start coming up. And I'm praying for those things. I go around the room and I come to the 20th person. And on the 20th person, it's a young lady. I put my hands on her and the well opens and I go, no, Lord, no. I don't say it out loud, but my spirit is grieved. I saw adultery. I saw a situation that was horrible in her life and she was right on the edge of it. And I said, Lord, I can't say that out loud. Why are you showing me this? And God says, so you can pray. And so I prayed for that young lady and my spirit was grieving. While I'm praying for her, I'm crying. I'm sobbing. And I'm thinking, Lord, these people are going to think I'm absolutely nuts. And they'll never believe what I just did. And I probably made it up. And so after I finished praying, we had communion, and I beelined it out of there. I ran back to my room, fell on my face before the Lord, said, God, forgive me. What did I just do? That was stupid. That was dumb. Why would I? Oh, I don't know why I did that. Lord, forgive me. I thought I was led by the Holy Spirit. I'm so sorry. I went to bed that night. I didn't talk to anybody. In the morning, I went to breakfast, and I was scared to go to breakfast. That's how I felt I really missed the mark. And I walked into breakfast and took my tray and kept my head down like this because I didn't want to meet any of those people I prayed for. Don't you know God puts one of those people in my path, and He looks at me and He says, Dick, thank you for praying for me last night. How did you know all those things were going on in my life? And I said, I didn't. And I still don't know. I just prayed what God put in my heart to pray. Three or four other people came to me to say the same thing. Some of them so amazed, they said, there's nobody in the world that knows that. How did you know that? I said, I don't know that. God knows that. And I was praying, and He was praying through me. I didn't see the young lady that I prayed for, and I was frightened to see her. But when I left that conference, I prayed for her for a full year. I think every day I prayed. A year later, I went back to the same conference where people were gathered. And I hoped I wouldn't run into April. I go into the cafeteria, and there's lots of people. And because I'm shy, I sat by myself and just sat down. Somebody comes in behind me. I see their shadow, and they come and they sit right in front of me. It's April. April sits in front of me. She bows her head and prays for the food. And then she looks up and she says, "Dick, you probably don't remember me. But a year ago, you prayed for me." And then she started to cry. And she says, "I was on the verge of leaving my husband for another man. And God spoke to my heart while you were praying for me, and He convicted me of it. They went home, and God released me from that lust and that desire, and God healed my marriage. And now in this year, God has given me a prayer ministry." And then she looked at me and she said, "You probably didn't know what you were praying for." And I didn't tell her. But I knew in my heart, God wanted to bring healing in her life. And He used me to do that. Now, does God always do that with me? No. Please, when I pray for you, don't think I'm looking into the well and I'm seeing everything in your life. That's unusual when that happens. It does happen, but it doesn't happen all the time. So please don't be afraid. Pastor Dick is not the looking glass, and he's going to look into your heart. As a gift of the Holy Spirit, it is one of the gifts of healing. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not one gift, and it's not some gifted healer guy that's supposed to come into the church and bring healing to you. It's the body of Christ using the gifts that God has given to effect healing in your life. People need to minister to people. That's why James said, when you're sick, call for the elders. That is, call the church people around you. Let them lay hands on you and anoint you with oil and pray for you, and you confess your sins together, and the Lord raises you up. It's God doing His work through the body of Christ. I think that's a tremendous lesson. But here's a scary part of that lesson. Most of us don't know what our gift is. Most of us are afraid to minister to anybody. And if God whispers to us and tells us information or gives us some way of praying for somebody, we're scared to do it because we don't want to be woo-woo Christians. We don't want to be weird. And you know, we quench the Spirit of God. We grieve Him by that. Now, I'm not encouraging crazy people to come up here and say all kinds of stupid things. We have those in the church too. When you have a gift from the Holy Spirit, you will be reticent. You will be hesitant to use it without His anointing, without a full knowledge that God is saying, "Do this." I would have never dared pray for those people without a full anointing of the Holy Spirit that says, "You do this or I'm going to spank you." That's what I felt. You have to do this. It's not about you. You do what I say. God wants to use your life. God wants to bring healing into His church again. Lastly, I want to say this. Perhaps your issue is not to be healed, but you've never had God's greatest gift in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. You've never received His greatest gift for you, and that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That He saves you from your sins. He comes into your heart and life, and He says, "I give you a new life. You're born again. Everything's brand new." And God writes your name in heaven, and He will take you to heaven when you die. If you haven't received that gift, you've missed the greatest gift of all. And this morning, Jesus wants to come into your life. It is wonderful. Romans says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God wants to bless you with His Son first of all, and then with gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, these are not easy things to say to the church. I don't even know if people get it. I know that there were times in my life where I wouldn't have got it. I would have been scared. I would have thought, this guy's crazy. But Lord, You're not crazy. And You have defined that the body of Christ should minister one to another. That no flesh would glory in Your presence. No one person gets all the credit. And Lord, we want that in this church. We want You to minister through the lives of Your people, to pray for others, to seek You for healing, to do the gifts that You've given to us. I pray that You would activate those gifts in Your people's hearts and lives. I pray for those that are sick today that need to be healed, that as they come to this altar to seek You, Lord, not a man, not a woman, not a healer, but they will seek Jesus, the healer, and that You would minister to their lives, You would heal them of their sicknesses, of their marriages, that are broken of the damaged emotions, of the finances that are in shambles, Lord, all those things that are broken, that You would be their healer. And most of all, Lord, I pray for those that have not received Jesus Christ as Savior, that even right now they would ask You to come into their lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, this is a time for You and the Lord. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you don't know that you've become a new person, your name's not written in heaven, and you'd like that to happen, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray and ask Jesus to come into my life. I want Jesus to be my Savior. You don't have to be ashamed. I invite you to do that because it's the most thrilling moment in your whole life when Jesus comes in and takes over your heart and life. Heavenly Father, now as we close this service, we ask the Spirit of God to do whatever You want to do in us, Lord. Bring about Your purpose in the lives of those people that are here broken and bruised and needing to be restored. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name.